Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by GenJag.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Wednesday, April 17th. Another day, another big mock draft from a big national publication. Who do the Jaguars land in Dane Brugler's seven-round mock draft? If y'all haven't heard me talk about Brugler, to me, he is among the big dogs in the NFL draft world. He's probably my favorite guy to listen to read his work, to hear him talk about NFL draft prospects. He's plugged in. He does a great job evaluating talent. So this is a big one, and it's a seven-round mock draft. So we're going to dive into it here, all the picks for the Jaguars in Dane Brugler's seven-round mock draft. We are literally just over a week away from the 2024 NFL draft. It is coming in hot and heavy. And so, you know, Thursday, April 25th, it kicks off. First round of the draft. We are 8 days away. Really excited to get into this one. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out genjag.com/shop. Pick up some new Duval gear, like the hat I'm wearing right now. Again, really appreciate y'all. Couldn't be doing this without you. So let's dive into this mock draft by Dane Brugler. The Jaguars have a lot of picks in this one. Part of the reason for that, at 17 overall, the Jaguars trade down with the Buffalo Bills, a team they traded down with in 2023. So there is some familiarity with trading in the first round between these two teams. Makes a little bit of sense for me. Trade down to 28 overall. You get the 28th pick, obviously. You get a fourth in 2024, a fifth in 2024, and a 2025 second round pick. So that's three extra picks over the next two drafts to move down 11 spots in the first round. It gives you two 2025 second-round picks, three more swings at the bat total over the next two drafts. You know, I'm game for this. Would I like some day two compensation in 2024? Yes. But when you're talking about building a team over the long haul, having more picks in the future is a good thing. And having an extra second-round pick in 2025 is certainly a good thing for the Jaguars. And I've talked about it. I think at 17 overall, like if you're not able to trade up and land like Romo Dunze, I do think at 17 overall, trading down makes a ton of sense because it gives you more swings at the bat. I think there are players at the positions of need for the Jaguars where if you move down into the 20s, you're going to have a very good shot at still landing someone who you value highly at a position of need. So I would be in favor of this type of move. Again, in this trade, I would like to see a 2024 day two pick, but it doesn't happen in this one. Not going to slam the Jaguars too much if it plays out this way, because again, a 2025 second round pick is a big deal. And now you have three fourth round picks in 2024. So that gives you a lot of flexibility, a lot of versatility. And if you want to stick and pick, I think there's going to be three good guys available in the fourth round. I like this draft really well past the fourth round. Now, the Bills did take Brian Thomas Jr. at 17. So I think that would really piss off some Jags fans, and I get it. You know, Brian Thomas Jr. could become a stud in the NFL. He has the potential, we talked about it yesterday, to be a legitimate wide receiver one. At worst, he's probably a really good vertical threat and red zone target. Is that what Trevor Lawrence could use right now? I mean, yeah, I do think that that makes sense. But I also like the idea of trading down. So at 28 overall, cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry, Brugler writes, in this scenario, the Jaguars are able to move down in the first round and still address the cornerback position with a strong option. McKinstry might not have elite speed, but he's confident, controlled, and smart, which will get him on the field as a rookie. Yeah, you know, if you've been paying attention here, you know I like Kool-Aid McKinstry a lot. Love his game. Love his name. Still think the Jaguars could have avoided cornerback being a major need, you know, if they wanted to extend Darius Williams. That's neither here or there at this point. It's a moot point, right? Darius Williams back in L.A. But Kool-Aid does make a lot of sense given the scenario, the situation the Jaguars are in. You know, Ronald Darby was brought in to compete for the starting cornerback job opposite Tyson Campbell in 2024. Darby might be able to beat out McKinstry in camp for a little while, but I kind of doubt it. And I also think eventually Kool-Aid gets on the field during his rookie year and starts and plays a lot. This is a guy that, like Dane said, he is very smart. He is controlled, but he's also aggressive when need be and very physical against the run, has good length. You know, he says that Kool-Aid McKinstry doesn't have great speed, and he doesn't have great speed, but at his size, you know, with his length, I think running in the 4.4s with the Jones fracture in his foot, pretty impressive, especially considering his teammate Terrion Arnold, who a lot of people have ranked ahead of him, ran a 4.5. And I know Terrion Arnold's athletic ability is less about his deep speed. It's more about his explosiveness, change of direction, his fluidity in and out of breaks, right? Which I do think he has Kool-Aid beat there in a little bit. But I think Kool-Aid, his experience in press man, his experience also playing off man coverage, off zone coverage, his consistency. I think that he is the type of player the Jaguars could certainly use. And I think that bringing him in here to eventually or maybe immediately be a starting corner makes a lot of sense, especially at 28 overall, because I think he's a player that would be in the conversation at 17 for the Jaguars, should be in the conversation at 17. So I'd be a big fan of trading down to 28 and landing Kool-Aid McKinstry. I would. Now at 48, Oregon wide receiver Troy Franklin. What a polarizing pick this would be. He's got an impressive release package off the line of scrimmage. He is a good route runner. He has length. He has athleticism. But he is very, very thin. And he doesn't always show confident hands. So at 48, I do think it's a decent place to take a swing here on a player like this. Any wide receiver that comes in here is in a good spot because they don't have to be the featured wide receiver or the featured target in the passing offense immediately. They can grow more into that role as they get more connection and chemistry with Trevor Lawrence, as they get more comfortable in the NFL, in the Jaguars offense, right? Because you have high volume targets on this offense already. But Troy Franklin is young. He just turned 21 years old. So all his tape is age 20 or younger. It's a swing to be sure, right? Again, this guy is very thin. There are some questions about his catch point skills. It's really odd because you saw in two of the last three seasons, he had a drop rate over 10%. But in 2022, his second season with Oregon, he like didn't drop anything. And he has a high average depth of target. He's got great speed. Like when he gets the ball in his hands, or you know, when he's running a nine route, a post, a corner, he can just turn on the jets and he can fly by you. He eats up yards. He eats up grass, right? So it would be a fun swing. I think that he is the type of player that could help open up the Jaguars offense. You know, there's a lot of comparisons for him to a former Jaguar, DJ Chark. I think that's interesting because I think, yes, they can win similarly down the field vertically, right? But DJ Chark, in my opinion, was a lot less advanced as a route runner and as a technician, you know, before the catch compared to Troy Franklin. But he was also bigger. Like, he was just a bigger football player. He was a little bit faster. I see the comparison a little bit. I just think Franklin is thinner than DJ Chark, but also more nuanced as a route runner, as someone who knows how to get open, right? So I think it would be a fun swing. Certainly would be polarizing, though. I think there'd be a lot of people, you know, excited about it. A lot of people kind of questioning the pick as well. So sounds like a Trent Baalke pick, doesn't it? 96 overall, defensive lineman, Mekhi Wingo out of LSU. I'm not quite this high on him when I look at the rest of the board, but like, can he be a rotational player early on the defensive line that can juice up the Jaguars' ability to penetrate, put pressure on the quarterback? Yes. Like, if he's out there on your third down packages, right, with Trayvon, Josh, and Eric Armstead, I think he does give you more juice than anybody you currently have as a pass rusher. So I see that. I could see that for sure. And I do think he has the potential to be a starting three tech down the line. Definitely. very athletic, undersized. He's 6 foot, weighed 285 at the combine. So that's real, real light, even for a three tech. But I think he has decent proportional length, 32-inch arms at 6 feet. I think that he knows how to use his natural leverage. He can explode off the football. He's been a good pass rusher throughout his collegiate career. So I get it. I absolutely do. Probably not where I would go. Like, I have Dwayne Carter ranked a lot higher. A lot of other players at different positions ranked higher than Wingo. But it would make sense to me because, again, immediate rotational pass rush value and probably long-term starting value for Wingo. Talented player. At 114 overall, Illinois offensive lineman Isaiah Adams. Yeah, this is another one I get because he has guard tackle versatility. I think he's probably better at guard. That's where Dane Brugler has him listed here in the NFL. But he has length. He's a decent athlete, right? Not like super explosive and not like the most agile, but he has enough agility, enough explosiveness, and again, length, a lot of starting experience to at the very least upgrade the Jaguars' depth on the offensive line. Like, I think he makes your second line much better than it currently is. So that's definitely a pick I would get. You cannot have Trevor Lawrence having no time to throw the football like he did at times in 2023 because of offensive line injuries. I think Isaiah Adams, if he had to fill in for you at guard in year one, you could probably feel pretty good about that overall. At 116, edge Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA, one of the Murphy twins, both of them in this NFL draft here. But Murphy, as a designated pass rusher, as a third or fourth rusher on the edge, makes a lot of sense for the Jaguars. He is a changeup. He does not have great length, but he is a very good athlete. Very refined as a pass rusher, in my opinion. Super productive at UCLA. Him and his brother were both very productive. So is it a little early? Maybe. But does he provide a skill set that I think can help the Jaguars get off the field on third down? Again, like Wingo, yes, absolutely. So I would be a pretty big fan of that pick overall because of what he can bring to the Jaguars specifically, right? A team that does have two starting edges, that does have Travis Gibson, who's a guy who has shown that he can thrive in this type of defense with Bill Shuey, who was his outside linebackers coach in Chicago, coming over to Jacksonville to work with Bill Shuey again. That makes sense. But yeah, Gabriel Murphy to compete for, you know, third down pass rush reps. I like it. At 133, safety Jalen Simpson out of Auburn. Simpson used to be a corner, played some safety. He's light, you know, about 180 pounds, but he's got pretty good length. He's a good athlete overall, a guy that I think has instincts out on the football field, knows how to find the ball. I think if they drafted him, he would probably be like a move piece in the secondary. They could play a lot of different roles for them. Definitely wouldn't be a starter in year one based on, you know, you've got Antonio Johnson, Darnell Savage, obviously Andre Sisco. You've got Kool-Aid McKinstry now, Ronald Darby, Tyson Campbell. So not a starter, but, you know, we're getting down into the fifth round here, or fourth round, bottom of the fourth round. I think this is a good range for him. I think that he does provide depth, probably at corner, nickel, and safety. So I get it for sure. I think that he has a future in the NFL at very worst as a backup. At 144, this is the type of pick that, A, I'd be shocked if he's on the board. B, I'd be doing backflips in my office here. 144 overall, cornerback Renardo Green out of Florida State. How he could fall to the fifth round is beyond me. Like, this is a guy that gave Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. all they could handle, was excellent for the Florida State Seminoles, a very good tackler as well, but he's sticky in coverage. He's physical. He's got the requisite skill set and physical traits, in my opinion, to be a starting cornerback in a press man system, which is exactly what the Jaguars have under Ryan Nielsen. I have a second-round grade on cornerback Renardo Green, so if the Jaguars land him on day three, in the fifth round, much less, that'd be incredible. So, yeah, I'm all over this. And now you have Kool-Aid McKinstry and Renardo Green two of the most experienced press man corners in college football, two of the best press man corners in college football, as your tandem of the future. And, you know, maybe your top three corners of the future are Tyson Campbell, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Renardo Green. If that's the case, you're sitting pretty long-term at the cornerback position. You really are. At 153, running back Isaac Guerrero out of Louisville, former wide receiver, great size profile, great athletic profile, a guy who, again, brings a pass-catching skill set to the running back room, third down skill set. Right now, I don't see a guy who, like, is a technician at running back, like, not a guy who has amazing vision or knows how to press the hole and then bounce it and find the right hole quickly, none of that stuff. But when you give him a runway, when you give him space, he flies. Like, he absolutely does. So I think that would be an interesting pick. To me, it would lean, if the Jaguars did draft an Isaac Guerrero, I would hope that it means they're going to lean more and more into the outside zone looks and you know, getting their running backs the ball out in space and letting them just fly, because Travis Etienne can fly. Tank Bigsby, very fast as well. Isaac Guerrero would add speed to that room. So I've wanted the Jaguars to do that anyways. Like, just running Travis Etienne up the gut does not make sense. Yes, Tank Bigsby does have that skill set to run up the gut, but get Travis Etienne in space. Get Isaac Guerrero in space. Even Tank Bigsby, because he has more of a balanced skill set. I love it. I think that would be a fun pick. And yeah, it's not a Trent Baalke draft without a running back on day three or at some point in the draft. Now, there is no linebacker that comes off the board here. So could Trent Baalke actually go an entire NFL draft without selecting a linebacker? We'll find out. But then at 212 overall, offensive tackle Travis Glover. This is a good one. This is a really good small school swing here on an offensive tackle who a lot of people like a lot. I haven't personally watched him, but he's got the length, the traits to potentially be a starter. So if you're talking about the Jaguars have Cam Robinson and Walker Little, both on expiring contracts, Travis Glover could be your OT4 in year one. And then obviously maybe be a swing tackle next year. And to me, I don't think the Jaguars should or will get rid of both Cam Robinson and Walker Little following the 2024 season. I just don't think they will. But could Travis Glover be that third tackle for you in 2025? I think that's a decent bet. And then at 236 overall, kicker Cam Little out of Arkansas. Good swing. A guy that has, you know, made a lot of 50 plus yard field goals. Not the most accurate. Like, I think Will Reichert is a better kicker, but Will Reichert already came off the board in this mock draft. So Cameron Little, a decent swing here. Like, the Jaguars, I think they need more competition at the kicker spot. You have Joey Sly, who I have zero confidence in. You have Riley Patterson, who I do have confidence in, inside of 50 yards. But Cameron Little has made 7 of 11 of his 50 plus yard kicks throughout his career. He's definitely got some upside. I think the Jaguars could feel good about at least adding someone with upside to compete for that job. And so look, you're telling me Trent Baalke absolutely cooks on day three of the draft? I kind of believe it when I see it. He cooked a little bit on day three last year. I think there were some interesting swings and some not so interesting swings last year on day three for the Jaguars. But Renardo Green on day three, that'd be awesome, right? And Isaac Guerrero, really talented runner, a guy who just, I think, again, in an outside zone scheme could thrive. I hope the Jaguars lean more into that. Travis Glover would be a fun pick. You know, I think that there's a lot of picks here on day three that represent pretty good value for the Jaguars. Kool-Aid McKinstry at 28 and Renardo Green at 144. That is a pairing of cornerbacks that I would be just, again, fired up about. And then Troy Franklin coming in to try to be that vertical threat receiver for you, you know, opposite Gabe Davis, trying to open things up for Christian Kirk and Evan Engram and Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby, and just help Trevor Lawrence have more of an explosive passing game down the field. I get that for sure. And then again, Wingo comes in, and so does Gabriel Murphy on day three, as guys that immediately juice up your pass rush a little bit. So overall, I wouldn't be in lockstep with every pick here, but I think it would represent a potentially realistic draft for the Jaguars. I do think trading down makes sense for them. I think that they could trade down with the Bills, and I think it would represent a draft that should get fans excited because there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of potential here, but you're making sure that your secondary is locked down with Kool-Aid and Renardo Green. You're giving yourself a shot in the arm with Troy Franklin. You're adding pass rush juice. So there's a lot to get excited about. You're adding offensive line depth early on. A lot to get excited about if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan with this mock draft from Dane Brugler, who did a great job, in my opinion. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. Let me know what you think in the comment section below about Dane Brugler's mock draft here from The Athletic. And if you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jinjag.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear. Y'all have a good one.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.